Willie and D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Nick Frazier here with you on Wednesday, and now joined by our good friend Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Hutton, We've been talking about the trade the Titans made yesterday with the Los Angeles Rams, acquiring linebacker Ernest Jones. And I heard Jared talking about this yesterday. We've talked about it a little bit. This is a really good player based on what we've read. So we're all a bit skeptical. Like, why was this player available? He's pretty good.
Right.
So yeah. Based on what you know about Ernest Jones and his situation in Los Angeles, what do you make of this trade? And should we be skeptical that the Titans were able to get a productive player for a low cost?
Well, I mean, I think considering where they were with their depth overall, if he turns out to be healthy and it's all good and well there, and it's a player that they want to extend, clearly. The trade itself is 2026. It's worth bringing him in. It's intriguing. I'm with you. Why is a player like this available? They're not going to re-sign him, clearly, but he's voted team captain. That's you don't see that often. I know PK said this morning, I believe on Robbie and Rexrove, that maybe he comes in a little bit overweight. Again, don't know. I'll trust Paul on that one, what he's hearing from out west. But all that to be said, it's a player that was well-respected early in his career, 24 years old now, final year of his rookie contract. Absolutely, you take this option and the chance here to bring in a player that can potentially be more long-term than some of the options that they have. Does he come in and start immediately? I don't know about that because of what Paul said this morning. But optimistic, sure, but add him to a list of players who come in with either injury concerns right now or they're on some type of calendar or have been in order to make sure and identify that they're just getting to the regular season healthy based on whatever injuries they're coming off of in the offseason / last season.
When you look at the Titans 53-man roster as it was released yesterday, I think the thing that stuck out to everybody is the fact that they kept five tight ends. Now, that is subject to change and could change very soon, but what do you make of the Titans' decision, at least initially, to have five tight ends on their roster?
I didn't predict five. I think in my roster I had four. But I looked at it from this perspective. Yeah, most you're going to have guys that are inactive, yes. But beyond that, the depth on the offensive line is not great. And I think this is going to be a team that runs the football a bit more than maybe the hype has been through the passing game early in the season. And if you're going to load up and do that, you're going to come out with more of a heavy set in certain situations. You're loading up your roster to do this and form the roster this way. But again, Adam, you're right to mention the 53 that we saw yesterday is not going to be the 53 that we see on week one. And that comes through roster acquisition, through trade, or through waiver claims. And we'll see who they choose to let go. It's the real surprise from my vantage point here would be Odikoya, who has the roster exemption for the extra man on the practice squad because he's the international player. They could have 17 players on their practice squad if they wanted to have him there. And instead of doing that, he's going to be on the active roster, at least as of right now, I believe. So again, that was interesting. He had the hustle play, and I'm glad to see that effort rewarded, because if not for that is the example of what you want to see in the preseason. But again, this time of year, yesterday and today, there's a lot of time spent on guys who aren't really going to be even maybe active on game day right now.
Well, let's bring up
as healthy as they're going
to
be.
Hutt, let's bring up everybody up to speed real quick, and you correct me if I'm wrong on this, because we're all curious. the Ernest Jones trade has not become official, so he's not taking up a roster
He's got to pass a physical.
Okay. Really. So the 53, we know he's going to take up somebody's spot on the 53, and they've also made two waiver claims in the last 10 or 15 minutes that have come public. Ali Gay, or an edge rusher out of LSU, who was on the practice squad last year for the Texans, and Julius Wood, who is a safety, undrafted free agent, who was cut by the Cowboys. So there's three guys that are on the 53, correct me if I'm wrong, that will not be there as of whenever these things are official.
Yep, and let's also mention the practice squad is going to include Gabe Giulalie. That's been reported that he's going to sign if he cleared waivers. You can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't think he was a waiver claim.
He was not claimed.
Okay, so you've got him. I'll point out the waiver claims. There were 25-ish claims, and the overall number it's around there. Mm-hmm. I say the top number because 8 of the claims were defensive backs. The league was looking for added depth in the defensive backfield. So the Titans end up with a more of a safety, I believe, than corner. But right now, I think this is a sign that they clearly believe that everything's good to go on the outside with Legarius Sneed and Awuzie based on the lack of visual optimism that I have because we haven't seen them on the practice field.
We'll talk with Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow. Check him out. Now, you mentioned, the depth of the offensive line and, clearly is not there. And I think that's going to have to be upgraded because I don't think the right side had any competition. And when you don't have competition, I don't think you play at your maximum potential. But that's neither here nor there. The cornerback position I am sort of concerned about. I am concerned about it because as much as I like Brownlee Jr., I don't think he's ready yet if you had to insert him into the offense, into the defense, if Cheeto can't play the first game of the season or Sneed, second game or third game of the season, Sneed may go down for a few plays or whatnot. Yes, McQuarrie is there, but – you need somebody else beside Brownlee Jr. because this was a sore spot for them last year. Yes, they did upgrade the two starters, and they had an upgrade already with McQuarrie, but you did nothing beyond that to make sure you don't run into the same problem you ran into last year.
Yeah, I mean, Mace, let's be honest here, and I hope you're doing well, brother.
Oh, I am.
Yeah, good.
He's a doctor now. Didn't you know that?
Dr. Mason.
Yes. Yeah.
What?
We'll talk about that
this
later.
This is a funny story.
Yeah, it's a funny story, but we'll talk about that later.
Okay. Let's be honest here. If they lose their top two corners, they're screwed no matter who they bring in right now.
Yeah.
They're back to what they were last year. This is not NFL quality depth across this roster. I believe, if my numbers are correct, they're going to start 15 or 16 different players than from the starting roster of week one in New Orleans a year ago.
Right. It depends on who you count as a starter, but I saw some of the tweets going through this. Like Arden Key, he's one you could debate, didn't start week one last year.
Chigakonko.
Right, Chigakonko is the other, but you get the point, right? There is a huge amount of new blood.
That's jarring when you see it. 75-ish% of the roster has had turnover, is no longer new players over the last 2 years. Like this is a massive overhaul. So we knew this was going to take time. Rand Carthon is in the offseason talking about the plan, and it's not just one offseason. Clearly, they need another offseason to build what we're seeing. All that being said, though, Mace, mm-hmm. there's no way that they just stick with four corners.
No way.
They've got to make – and keep in mind, their practice squad, they can call up two players from the practice squad at least three times, I believe, mm-hmm. Individually. And then you have to sign them to the active roster. So they can do that on game day, and it's with some guys who have been here through the preseason that I at least thought – may make the roster, not Trey Avery, but Gabe Giulalie. Again, you don't want to see them on the outside, but depth-wise, the option was Trey Avery, and we've seen what happens there if he had to start.
Now, were you surprised, because we hadn't talked to you since the trade went down with Malik Willis, are you surprised that a team was willing to give up any type of picks? Because that would have been, to me, a situation with the Titans where they were discussing whether to keep him as the third quarterback or release him. I'm not sure why, Green Bay just didn't wait for the release. But then again, they could be at the bottom of the pecking order when it comes to free agents, guys that have been cut. So maybe that's why they jumped on it. And they like what they saw as far as the preseason work with Malik Willis. He did improve as a quarterback. He was,
no doubt,
immersed himself into the offense, and you saw a different quarterback than what we had seen in previous years.
So I'm raising my hand here for those listening and not watching us here on the stream. I was wrong in this assessment. I didn't think anyone was going to claim Malik Willis if they let him go, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. Green Bay just told us they felt like another team would by trading for it and guaranteeing that they have him on the roster. And so all the fear of potentially losing him, the Titans were going to cut him and they get something in return. Great. But I the thought on trading him, that's what they should have done if they had the opportunity, which came up. Mm-hmm. When you consider that to me, there wasn't an available roster spot to keep three quarterbacks. And if you look at the numbers, and especially week one, going into everything, if you look at it from that perspective, then what do you do with Malik Willis if you keep him as the third? You're telling us as the media, the fan base, everyone, that you think Malik Willis is the backup quarterback next year. Otherwise, why would you keep him to develop him another year and then do what with him? Have him a third string again? Again, they did him right, and they made the right call because he was clearly the third string quarterback, and they signed Mason Rudolph for a reason. Mason Rudolph is a quarterback that has been in playoff caliber type games and won them in the regular season to get Pittsburgh in playoff contention or to continue that record that they've had for 17 straight seasons or something of a winning record. All that being said, goodbye Malik Willis. Is he starting caliber? No. Can he be a backup quarterback? Yes. And those dudes can make a lot of money. Ask Chase Daniel. So I say this, hey, he's improved. He played the touchdown, the second touchdown throw where he stepped up and made a great pass across the middle, a bullet, and set his feet. That is vastly different than the QB I saw 2 years ago. I credit him, and I also credit the coaching staff. This coaching staff made him look better.
And they got a seventh rounder out of it. And Hutton, to further your point, this is what's interesting. Since that trade transpired, right, you have to have some sort of crystal ball, but we know you don't actually have one, but you're trying to predict. There were no quarterbacks to this point, and we're scouring the list. There's a lot of waiver moves, but no quarterback got picked up by a team to put them on their 53. So in retrospect, the Packers could have let Malik Willis got cut and not given up the seventh rounder. So the Titans are the only team in the league that got a draft pick for their third-string quarterback, right?
They could have had Desmond Ridder for free if they wanted
to. Or any number of other guys, Bailey Zappi and all those guys.
Mike White, there were guys out there who you might put ahead of Malik Willis.
It shows you what the Packers thought of Willis. And
Green Bay could have potentially been the team to claim it.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. So don't you think it's interesting? Like, everybody's now wondering, what's the next move for the Titans? Surely they're going to try to sign an extra quarterback for the practice squad.
So Bailey Zappi and Mike White, that's a good comparison. If you want to claim a roster position and put them on your active roster, fine.
But nobody's doing that. Obviously, that is coming gone, right?
Zappi, by the way, has been
reported. There's another version of Bailey Zappi that can be on your practice squad if you need a third quarterback.
Zappi, it has been reported, has joined the Chiefs practice squad. I just saw that.
Okay.
So
to cross them off the list, like, but there's a ton of guys like that.
There's a bunch of just guys, right? And I view it, you can you could have a quarterback fit your system, but I don't see much difference in the level and the caliber of quarterback that is available right now. If you really need a quarterback, go sign Ryan Tannehill.
Well, he's waiting for the big one,
no
right?
Doubt.
Somebody
but
that gets desperate
here.
And needs
I'm not saying
it,
here.
It
I'm
won't
just saying
here.
Across the
yeah.
league. If you're dire, don't claim a quarterback, not from this group. Go sign Ryan Tannehill and give him some cash.
He's in that slot.
Just like
Kevin Lankinen is in that slot, I think, for goalies, emergency, a guy that's unsigned that could help
he's
you.
He's playing the Joe Flacco role.
Yeah.
And I don't,
wait
hey,
and
he
see
made
what
$40
unfolds.
Million dollars last year. I don't blame him.
Me
Dude made $40 million. Why would you sign now for five?
All right, so, Hutt, here's a big picture question here that we're going to try to tackle and see what the listeners think. But each of these moves that they have made, and I think the optimism that you see when you watch them, whether it's fool's gold or not, right? They have a good feeling right now about themselves. You see sweat coming around. They've got Harrell, who's a seventh round pick that looks good. They like what Levis is doing. The new guys, they haven't been decimated with, you know, catastrophic injuries, knock on wood. They make this move for Ernest Jones. They look like a team that's trying to be sneaky good and not a team that's in a rebuild. So what are your thoughts when you hear that? It reminds Adam and I, and I'm sure D-Maze as well. I haven't asked him about it, but a little bit like a page out of the Predators book last year where everybody was kind of saying, well, the Predators are going to be bad. They're in a new era. What are they? I don't know. And Barry Trotz is like, hey, we're doing that. Be patient. We're building something big for the future. But in the meantime, I don't want to lose. I see the Titans kind of taking a page out of that book.
Well, I would say instead of being the sneaky good team, I think they just see an opportunity to be competitive. And here's the other thing, Willie. They've done everything this offseason with Will Levis in mind. That I think if you look at the offense, it's clear that it was intentional what they've done, not just with the coaching staff and the huge change in philosophy, but Levis now, he had a good preseason. Cool. He's got it in front of him now to have the opportunity to be – is he that guy? Can he be the guy here? Not just the leader of the offense, but the leader of the locker room, the guy. He's got it in front of him. I think a lot of the optimism is way too high. I'm seeing like 9-10 win predictions all of a sudden now. This is a team, again, that if you consider what we've seen on the injury list the last 2 years combined, and then you look at their depth right now, if I name off one corner and say they're done, they're going to be on IR for several weeks, or T'Vondre Sweat or Simmons goes down, and then one of the tackles goes down. Again, there are several positions where if one guy goes down, musical chairs happens. And then you've got young players that is the reason for optimism because they're not bringing back the same guys when fans know what they saw from those players. Now it's new and it's fresh and it's guys who produced in the preseason. I'm not trying to rain on the parade always, but I am remembering what I saw from this roster and how many new players are in and how many players we just have not seen yet. What, five of the newcomers on defense are either injury rehab or they're on a schedule because they're making sure that the injury rehab goes as well as it possibly can for week one. There's a lot of unknown here. But I will say, I think the optimism in the building that you mentioned, Willie, is optimism in the staff. There have been, across the league, a lot of failures for first-time head coaches. And I don't get the sense at all that Brian Callahan is in over his head. I think he's been intentional with his plan. He's been honest with the media, which tells me he's confident in that plan. He knows he's ready for the opportunity, I guess is what I'm saying. He's got a chance to prove. Denard Wilson, love his approach on the practice field and how he coaches. There's the youth movement with the staff too. And I think the veteran coaches around both young play callers here give me I'm more optimistic that they're not in over their head more so than I am. This is a team that's sneaky good. Even if they get off to a fast start, which they could do, the depth isn't there to sustain them throughout the regular season. I don't buy it yet.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. Jonathan, thanks for joining us as always.
No doubt. Always look forward to this, guys, and catch up next week.
Sounds right, good. Thanks, game week. Get your game face on.
Hey, I'm taking the money line, North Dakota State. Deion's calling out Finebaum the day before the game. Give me North Dakota State.
What a disaster that would be if Colorado loses after everything that's happened.
Jonathan, 9.5-point spread. 9.5 points. Mm. Just saying. It was 8.5 last week.
You heard it here first, guys.
Hutton is taken.
Give me the FCS.
Thanks, Hutton.
There's always one. Yeah. Every Labor Day weekend, there's always one.
You don't want to be that.
Thank you, guys.
All right.
Jonathan Hutton joining us as he does every Wednesday at noon. We'll react to what he had to say, but I do want to get into this conversation about expectations around the Titans because Derek, the three of us were talking amongst ourselves yesterday, and Derek brought up a really interesting point that I want to dig into even further, and we'll do that next. Tune into 94.9 The Fan today as the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte. Pre-game at 5:20, first pitch at 5:35, with coverage also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at 94.9thefan.com. Sounds Baseball, 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure, Five Points Roofing, and Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning.